I get to come. I lost count how many times I've been here now, but I've enjoyed it every time. And had a few visitors this morning. It's good to have visitors. And, I thought we may have a smaller crowd this morning because it's been a 4th of July weekend. And instead, we got more. And so that's great. That's great. I know these folks pastor, Brother Christner at Calvary and Brother Jones at Bryant Pond. So both great men of God, and sure do. Both of them have preached at our church. And so I go to Gospel Light Baptist Church in New Vineyard, Brother Steve Grubbs. So they've both been to our church and preached. So I know how good of a preacher they are. So if y'all expecting that today, y'all in trouble. But we'll preach what the Lord has for us to preach, for sure. I appreciate the other couple being back from Calvary Bible Church in Andover, and they've brought some other people from the church there. That's last time they were here, I preached the first part of the message I'm going to preach today, Lighten the Load, Lighten the Load. And I preached part one, and so they get to hear part two. And so the timing was perfect. I think we did discuss that last time he was here, right? And turn to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Just to catch up, I broke the message in. Lighten the Load was the title of my message. And I got it out of Hebrews. Lay aside the weight of sin, the weight and sin that it so doth easily beset you. And I got it out of that. That was my kickoff. But I had two parts. Last time we preached on lay aside the weight of sin. Lay aside the weight of sin. And I had 4 points. You need to first, we talked about Jonah, if you remember. And you need to search if it is sin. Search if it is sin. Anytime you go through a trial or storm in your life, you need to find out if it's sin. No matter what happens in your life, you need to find out, make sure that you're right with God. And then beg for mercy. Cast sin overboard, which they did, and then make a sacrifice and a vow. I'm not going to re-preach that. We're going to talk on the weight of struggle. The weight of struggle. Struggle means to experience difficulty and make a very great effort in order to do something. Struggle, it was this weight that Paul is going to be in here, is not because of sin in his life. It's just a struggle. We've all been through struggles. We've all been through trials and storms in our life. And like I said last time, you need to investigate and find out if it is because of sin. And if it is, then you need to get rid of the sin. But there's sometimes when you go through trials and storms, it's not because of sin. It's just because God's trying to take you somewhere. That's a whole different message there. But I was thinking of some people who struggled. Job. You know, Job struggled in life. And we know that Job had no sin. He had sin, but he had no sin that caused his struggle in his life. And God let the devil on him for a little bit, see if he could break him down. And but Job stood strong. And Joseph. Remember, Joseph went through some struggles in life, but his wasn't because of sin either. Daniel. Daniel's struggle was because he prayed. And he said, I'll go pray about that. And when he said that, you know, they threw him in the lion's den. But he had struggles in life, but not because of sin. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had struggles in life. I'd say that's a pretty big struggle when you get thrown in a raging fire. But it wasn't because of sin. It was because they wouldn't worship to the idol. And then I thought of Naomi. Naomi had some serious struggles in life. But it wasn't because of sin. Now, you could debate whether Amalek sinned or not by going to Moab. But she just went along. And she had some real struggles in life. She lost her husband, lost her two boys. And she had some struggles in life. You're going to have struggles in life. Struggles are going to come. And if it is sin, do as the mariners did and throw Jonah overboard. Get rid of that sin, as we talked about last time. But if it's a struggle not because of sin, what do you do then? That's the message today. Acts 27, we'll start picking up in verse 18. And we being exceedingly tossed, well, let me give you some background here. Paul is Paul has been arrested in Jerusalem because he was bringing some Gentiles into the service. And that was not a good thing to do, and supposedly, in that day. And so he was arrested there in Jerusalem, and they were going to kill him. They were going to beat him to death. Fortunately, there were some Roman soldiers that came to his aid. And the Roman soldiers came to his aid, and they arrested him and to get him out of that mess. And so he was, but he had already got word from God that he would be in Rome, that he was supposed to go to Rome. And so when he got arrested, Paul got a free trip to Rome, but he had to take a long way to get there. He had a couple years of shipwreck and some other things that we'll see here, but this is where we are. He's headed to Rome as his final destination. And verse 18 says, "And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern, and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continue fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you, to take some meat, for this is for your health, and for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he hath thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And were they all of good cheer, and they all took some meat, and were in all the ship 66 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into that which were minded, if it were possible to thrust into the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoist up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas meet, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first in the sea to get to land, and the rest some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. All safe to land. Let's pray. Our dear Father, Lord, we thank you for this time that you've allowed us to come together. Lord, you know I'm nothing without thee. Lord, I'm just a man. Just a unfit servant, but Lord, with your help, Lord, you could surely help me today. I need your help. Lord, I pray that you would pass to and fro throughout these pews today, and Lord, you would help hearts and minds. Lord, maybe someone here today that needs what I have to say, and Lord, I take it that's the case. If not today, they'll need it in the future. But Lord, I pray that everything be done, will be done decently and in order. Uplift thy name today. We give you praise and honor for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. My wife, I didn't mention this earlier, my wife has been gone since Tuesday. She's gone to Oregon to visit her sister. She went by the way of Nashville and picked up her mother. And from the Nashville, they flew out to Oregon. And she's there. And so me and Reagan have been batching for since Tuesday. And the brother over here said, "You're probably going to lose some weight." I said, "Probably not." I said, "Too much fast food and frozen food." And it's starting to tell on me already. And so I miss her. And something about I miss her just everyday things. But just her being here today makes it a little difficult not seeing her there. Her smile, something about when I'm preaching, I can look at her and it encourages me. And her, and all I got today is Reagan. So, so I'm actually preaching this week and next week. I don't know what happened there, but I'm glad to do so. But I told Brother Kurt, I said, preach by next week. I may come and preach a mean message, having my wife gone for 2 weeks. And so she's been playing the piano, which we had a great piano player today. But he said that we won't make that a what was the word you used? I can't remember the word he used, but he said we'll still let you preach even without her. And I said, well, that's good, because normally it's a package deal and nobody lets me come anywhere without her. She's the best part of our marriage for sure. Weight of struggle. There's four things I want to mention today to do if you're in the weight of struggle. We mentioned four things last time on the weight of sin, what to do. But four things to do if you're in the weight of struggle. Verse 22 through 24. It says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given them all them that sail with thee." First thing you need to do is remember the words of God. Remember, if you're struggling in life, something's happening in your life right now, and you know it's not sin, but you're just struggling, you remember the words of God. You remember the words of God. 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you." If you're struggling, do exactly that. Cast all your care, no matter what it is in life. Remember this. That's the Bible, correct? 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all your care." Sometimes we don't want to do that. We're struggling in life. We want to take care of ourselves. We want to work this out ourselves. But if you're struggling, cast all your care. When you bring it to the altar, you just leave it there. Don't pick it back up and take it back to your pew or to your house or to your home. Hebrews 13:5 says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Remember the words of God. "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Sometimes when you're struggling, you feel like you're all alone. And I've been there. I've been so far in the deepness of despair that I felt like there was nobody there. But I forgot the words of God. But the word of God says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He may be in the shadows somewhere, but he's there. But why do I know he's there? Because the word of God said so. I can go by the word of God. Remember the words of God when you're struggling. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You know, when they were out there on that ship, they thought they were struggling. Remember the disciples on the ship struggling? Jesus come walking on the water. He was watching them the whole time. They were never alone. He's always there. He said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Philippians 4:19 said, But my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You're struggling. Maybe it's a struggle of finances or needs that you have. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. If you're struggling with that, you got the promise. You got the word of God. Just remember the word of God. If your time of struggle, remember the word of God. James 4:6, "He giveth more grace." He giveth more grace. You know, Paul had that thorn in the flesh. And he asked the Lord 3 times, "Will you remove the thorn in my flesh?" And he said, "My grace is sufficient." But I'm glad he giveth more grace. know, sometimes he doesn't always take the struggle away. The struggle's there. It may be there for a while. You may go through this for a good little while. But he said, I'll give my grace. More grace will be given. And my grace will be sufficient. Remember the words of God when you're struggling. When you're struggling. There's not a person in here that hasn't been through a struggle, a trial, a storm in life. And if you haven't been through the trial of your life, as the Bible calls it, it's still coming. And when it does come, just remember the words of God. Number one, in verse 25, we see the second point. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I, what? Believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Number two, not only remember the words of God, but believe God. Believe God. Believe what he said. 1 John 5:5 says, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Believe God. Not just know the words, but believe it. Believe it. Luke 8:50 says, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she will be made whole. Believe only. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. When you know, I feel guilty sometimes reading that verse. You know, but the verse says what it says. And I'll tell you why. I'm going to read the verse again. You see how it hits you. And it's kind of sad that it hits us this way. But therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, why would I feel guilty about reading that verse? That's a great verse, is it not? Because you'll get accused of prosperity gospel. I don't want to be accused of prosperity gospel, but I also don't want to take away from the gospel. I believe that what the Bible says. You know, I had a pastor one time. He said, the only thing I regret in my ministry, he was an older pastor. He said, the only thing I regret in my ministry is I didn't trust God for more. I didn't trust God for more. And that's where we should be. Trust God for more in our life. We cut God so short. We cut God so short. He's able to do more than we think he can do. Really. And we only trust him sometimes when we get in these struggles. But we need to trust him when we're out of the struggles, when we're going into the struggles, when we're in the struggles, when we're coming out of the struggles. We need to trust him at all times. All times. And then number three, totally trust God. Totally trust God. I was reading a story about a botanist, a biologist. They were in the mountains of the Andes, and they were looking for rare plants. And on the hillside, on the mountainside, they saw a little yellow flower, and through binoculars. And it was a rare flower, and they thought it was, and they wanted to get to that flower, and dig the flower up and bring it up. And so they found a young man, and they were just going to let him overboard, over the cliff, with a rope, and to get down to where the flower was. And so they said, young man, we'll pay you if you'll hang on to this rope and go down there and get that flower and bring the flower back up. He said, wait just 1 minute. And so he left, and he came back with an older man. And he said, I'll go over that cliff as long as this man holds the rope. He said, he's my dad. He said, he's my dad. That's the way we should be. Now, I may not trust D. I may not trust any of you to hold my rope. We don't know each other that good. But I trust God. I trust God to hold my rope. You need to fully trust God when you struggle. When you're in a storm of struggle, when you're in a time of struggle in your life, not just know the words of God, not just believe God. It says the devils believe God, right? But fully trust God. And we see that. You know, the point of the sin, casting the sin overboard, if you remember the message last time, you know, they cried for mercy, but mercy did not fall until they got rid of the sin. You got to get rid of the sin first, if you remember that. That was the third point of that message, was also the climax. The climax of getting rid of sin, the struggle of sin, is getting rid of the sin. The climax to getting rid of the storm of struggle is truly trusting God, getting rid of all options. There's no other option other than I totally trust you. And that is where God's trying to get you to, more than likely, in the storm, is to get you to totally trust him. We see in verse 38, I didn't write it down, but before 38, there it is. We read it earlier. I didn't even write it down. But you remember, if you remember correctly, they them lifeboats, they cut them loose. They cut them lifeboats loose. They said, there'll not be a man saved unless you cut them lifeboats loose. Why? Because they needed to trust God. They needed to totally trust God. You know, if them men were to left on them lifeboats, they were trusting them lifeboats. You see what I'm saying? He said, cut them lifeboats loose. Cut them loose. Let them go. Every man needs to stay on board. We need everybody on board trusting God, fully trusting God. So they got rid of the lifeboats. And then in verse 38, we see that they went a little further. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast the wheat into the sea. They eat. They all eat the food that they needed. And when they eat all the food they needed, they threw the rest of it overboard. They lightened the load. They lightened the load at that point. All food was gone. At this point, you're at the point where you trust in God. You're at trusting God. Matthew 6, I wasn't going to read it, but I am. Matthew chapter 6, if you'll turn there, I think it's worth reading this morning. It's a very familiar story, but if I'm going to get the point across to you to trust God, we need to look at this verses. Matthew 6, starting in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought or worrying, can add one cubit unto his stature? You can't. You can't. You can worry all day long about the struggle that you're in, but it's not going to help you one bit. It's not going to help you one bit. And then verse 27-28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and the righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If he takes care of the sparrow, if he takes care of the flowers, then surely when it comes time for a storm, a struggle in your life, he'll take care of thee. He'll take care of thee. Why should we worry? Why should I worry about what the next meal is going to be? He's promised he'd take care of me. I've been low enough that I worried about the next meal. You wouldn't believe that looking at me today. I ain't missed a meal in quite a few days. But there's been times where it's been a little tight. It's been a little tight. Been times where I didn't know how he was going to make the next payment. I didn't know where the money was going to come from. And all of a sudden, God sends it in. God sends it in. In times of struggling, totally trust God. Totally trust God. Number four, we see in verse 35 back in Acts. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. He didn't do it secretly. He did it in front of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. You need to praise God. When you're struggling, you need to praise God. Hard time to do it, right? You say, this is not a good time. God, I'm taking a break right now. I'm struggling. This is about me. Pity, oh me. Pity is me. But this is not a time. You put God to the side. Woe is me, right? But if you're going to get out of this struggle, you better learn to praise God. Who is it? Paul and Barnabas? Was there in the jail? Paul and Barnabas or Silas? I can't remember now. Help me, somebody. Paul and Barnabas. Silas. Paul and Silas. Thank you. I was getting them confused. Paul and Silas were in the jail at midnight, and the doors flung open, but they stayed there. And it said they sung songs and praised the Lord. Sung songs and praised the Lord, even in the midst of that. And what did it do? What was the results of that? It saved. The jailer got saved. If you're going to make a difference, you're going to praise God when you're struggling. Praise God when you're struggling. Not easy to do, but it's a must. It's a must. If you're going to come out of the struggle, you better learn to praise God when you're struggling. Psalms 34:1 said, I will praise thee, Lord, at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I will praise him at all times. That's not just up on the mountain. That's down in the valley. That's everywhere in between. I will praise him at all times. We have nobody else worthy of our praise than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's it. Now, that's the four points. I've got two more thoughts. First, I want to say there's two things do not do. Two things do not do. All right? Number one, if you look in Acts 27:21, Paul said, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened to me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained the harm and loss. Do not boast that I told you so unless you have a reason behind it. But you know, as Christians, sometimes we see somebody going through a storm in life and we could have seen it happen. We could have seen it coming, and we do a lot of times. We see it coming in their life and we want to say, I told you so. I told you it was going to happen. Restrain from doing that. Restrain from doing that because I told you so. And number two, do not. Acts 28:4, next chapter over. And when the barbarians, you know, all the men get up on shore. He's gathering wood. Paul's gathering wood for a fire. It's in the wintertime, so it's pretty cold. They were cold. They were probably going through hypothermia. But he's gathering wood, and he grabs the wood, and the snake grabs onto his hand. And he shakes the snake off. And it's, verse 4 says, and when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom they, though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. False accusations. Do not false accuse a brethren. You see somebody struggling, as we talked about last time, it's because of sin. It ain't always because of sin. And it is, do not accuse a brethren of going through a struggle or a storm and thinking that he's there because of sin. It's not our place. It's not our place. It's God's the one that dictates that, not us. I was thinking that there was in John 9:1-3, a blind man, they asked, who sinned? Remember? They said, was it him or was it his parents? what Jesus say? He said, neither. Neither. He said, this is for the glory of God. Neither. Don't accuse someone. You know, sometimes we hear these messages, and the messages are giving us instructions of what to do, but I also think that sometimes it's good to tell us what not to do. If we're going to be Christians, we need to be, what does Christian mean? Christ-like. Christ-like. And if, to be Christ-like, we don't need to have our nose so up in the air that we want to accuse the brethren. I know why they're in this situation. No, you don't. You don't know. You don't know why they're in this situation. You may think you do, but God has a different plan than we do. And then don't boast that I mean, you can give them advice. I've given them advice 1,000 times over, and probably 10% has been right. But really, it does me no good, them no good, and people watching no good for me to go back and say, well, I told you I was right. And no use boasting about that. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to end up right here. 1 Thessalonians. I wanted to leave with this thought. The climax was, the message was lighten the load. Lighten the load. Lighten the load from the weight of sin. Lighten the load from the weight of struggle. First Thessalonians chapter 4, starting with verse 13, tells us the climax of this whole thing. Now, one, we're going to lighten the load of sin. We're going to lighten the load of struggle. We're also going to lighten the load of Satan. I'm not going to preach a message on lighten the load of Satan, because good luck. He's here. He's going to be here. But when 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18 happens, we're going to lighten the load of that joker. I'm glad to get rid of him once and for all. I'll wave goodbye once and for all. That's what I want to read to you to finish this message for today. Was there's hope. You may not have hope to lighten the load of sin. You may not ever get out of it the way you wish you could get out of it. It may have a hold of you in your life. There is help. I tried to tell you last time, there's help for that. And I hope you get help here. I really do. You should get help here. And there's a way to struggle. You may take that struggle as Paul did, that thorn in the flesh. You may take it all the way to the grave. But if you do, I want to give you these comforting words. 1 Thessalonians 4:31. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe, you got to believe, that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. One of these days, I'm going to be standing. I could be standing right here, Brother Matt. I could be standing right here when it happens. The trump of sound. Gravity will no longer have a hold. I will lighten the load once for all. I'll lighten the load of this old flesh. I'll lighten the load of old Satan. I'll be gone. This roof will not stop me. I'm going to lighten the load once and for all. I believe that. Now, the dead in Christ, one's buried. There could be some buried out here in this yard. We don't know how long back they've been. They could be out here in this yard somewhere. If they're in this yard and they trusted Christ back way back before Pilgrims got here, or whoever, it doesn't matter. God's not going to forget a one of them. If they were ever his, they're his now. And he didn't forget where they were. You could have burned them. They could have burned them to the stake. And the first ones that came over, they could have burned them. The Indians could have burned them out here in the yard. And they could have burned them. But the ashes could be out here somewhere a foot, 6 feet down by now. It doesn't matter. The ashes are coming up. He knows where they all are. They're going to come up. They're just barely going to beat me. They're going to get called first. But we're going up together. I believe that as much as I'm standing here right now. I hope you do. We call that the rapture, the calling up. It's going to happen. But the only ones that's going to get called up is those ones that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Have you done that today? Now, to help with the weight of sin, to help with the weight of struggle, you must have Jesus Christ. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you're going to have to deal with the weight of sin, the weight of the struggle on your own. But I'm glad. I told this last time I was here. I got saved at the age of 7, sitting right there on the second pew in my little church, not much bigger than this one. I came down and knelt right here at an old-fashioned altar and got saved, gloriously saved. And from birth to 7, I committed sins. But I've committed much more sins since 7 years old than I had before 7, understandably so. But even every time I've ever sinned, God's been there to help me. God's knocked on my door. He said, "That's one good sign." I'm not rattling. I'm trying to close. That's one good sign when he knocks on your door, lets you know that you just ran a stop sign. You need to ask for forgiveness for that, and that's a good sign knowing that you're one of his, because he takes care of his children. And but he was there. Not only did he tell me I ran the stop sign, he was there to help me get through it. And he's by my side. If you've never been saved, you don't have that privilege. You don't have the privilege of somebody coming by your side to help you. The times I'm struggling, I told you he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He may let me struggle with it for a little while, but he'll give me grace. He'll give me grace. He's there. He's been there. I wish I could tell you that I don't have time. I really don't have time. The trial of my life that I went through, where God, I was like Job. God took away, but he gave. But God gave me more than I deserve. I don't have time to tell you this whole story today. But the way of sin, the way of struggle can be helped through the salvation of Jesus Christ. I hope you're saved. Kurt, you'll come this way. You're going to sing a song of